we are going to be reading from Leviticus 1. This is on page 85. I'd love to. Thank you. The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. He said, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when anyone among you brings an offering to the Lord, bring as your offering an animal from either the herd or the flock. If the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, you are to offer a male without defect. You must present it at the entrance to the tent of meeting so that it will be acceptable to the Lord. You are to lay your hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on your behalf to make atonement for you. You are to slaughter the young bull before the Lord, and then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and splash it against the sides of the altar at the entrance to the tent of meeting. You are to skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priest, are to put the fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. Then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the pieces, including the head and the fat, on the wood that is burning on the altar. You are to wash the internal organs and the legs with water, and the priest is to burn all of it on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord." And on the same page at chapter 2. "When anyone brings a grain offering to the Lord, their offering is to be of the finest flour. They are to pour olive oil on it, put incense on it, and take it to Aaron's sons, the priests. The priests shall take a handful of the flour and oil, together with all the incense, and burn this as a memorial portion on the altar, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the food offerings presented to the Lord."
Hey everyone, our second reading is in chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, just on the other side of the page. "If your offering is a fellowship offering, and you offer an animal from the herd, whether male or female, you are to present before the Lord an animal without defect. You are to lay your hand on the head of your offering and slaughter it at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall splash the blood against the sides of the altar. From the fellowship offering, you are to bring a food offering to the Lord, the internal organs and all the fat that is connected to them, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins, and the long lobe of the liver, which you will remove from the kidneys. Then Aaron's sons are to burn it on the altar on top of the burnt offering that is lying on the burning wood. It is a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Hey everyone, my name is Andrew. I'm one of the pastors here. Welcome to the Bridge Church, Macquarie Park. It's great to have you, especially if you're new or you're visiting. Welcome. And you've joined us. Last week we introduced a new series in the book of Leviticus. And if you've been a Christian or familiar with the Bible, you know Leviticus is often that book. You know, you've started to read the Bible at the beginning and you get to Leviticus and that's where you're tempted to give up. Because it's a tricky book. It is a hard book, but it's God's word. God wants to speak to us through this book. He wants to grow us. He wants to change us. So we're going to pray. Let's ask for God's help as we look at the book of Leviticus together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give us hearts that are soft now, ready to hear you speak, ready to be changed and transformed for your glory, we pray. Amen. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Saviour. I surrender all. I don't know if you've heard that hymn before. I surrender all. We surrender things in our lives all the time. We give up things, we sacrifice things for someone else, for something else. And normally when we surrender things, it's because we think that the thing we're surrendering something for is worth it. It's worth our time. It's worth our energy. So you might surrender a lot of your time for your uni degree, to get your essays done, to get your assignments in. And for those of you who got kids, you surrender your energy to raise your kids. And for those of you who are saving up money for a house, you surrender a house deposit to try and get a mortgage. We surrender and sacrifice all the time. Could there be anyone more worthy of our surrender than Jesus? Jesus, the one who has given us everything. He is worthy of it all, isn't he? He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all honor. He's worthy of all that we have. Now, the book of Leviticus, we just heard read the first three chapters, or snippets of the first three chapters. And we heard three different sacrifices. And maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, well, hang on, how are those chapters relevant to me? When you came to church tonight, I'm guessing you didn't bring a bull with you, or a bird, or a goat. At least I hope you didn't, because it'd be very distracting for our service this evening if you've got one of those hiding under your seats. And so it's easy to think, well, how is this relevant to me today? Here's what you got to know. Even back in the time of Leviticus, what God cared about more than the sacrifice itself was the people's heart. That's what God cared more about. More than the sacrifice was their heart. And their hearts were hearts of surrender. Surrender. These are people who were drawing near to God with joy, with thanksgiving, because they recognize God is worthy of it all. They're filled with thanks. They're filled with awe for who he is and what he has done. Is that your heart? Heart of joyful surrender. We're going to look at these three chapters of Leviticus tonight and break it up into 2 points. Drawing near to God with sacrifice, drawing near to God with joyful surrender. Drawing near to God with sacrifice, drawing near to God with joyful surrender. Let's look at that first point, drawing near to God with sacrifice. I hope you know tonight that God wants you to draw near to him. Do you know that? You were made for a relationship with God. You were made for connection with God. He longs for you to know him and to draw near to him. That's really what the book of Leviticus is about, believe it or not. Drawing near to God. Do you ever look at the way Leviticus starts in chapter 1, verse 1? It says, "The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting." This is all happening around a tent of meeting. It's exactly what it sounds like. It is a tent where God lived and was going to meet with his people. It is a tent in the middle of the Israelite camp where people could draw near to God and God would meet with them. Here's why this is amazing. The book of Leviticus, it's actually part of a bigger story. At the very beginning of the Bible, God's people dwelt with him in the Garden of Eden. It was perfect. They enjoyed the presence of God. And then because of sin, they were kicked out of the garden. Humans set apart, separated from the presence of God. The whole start of the Bible is God working out his plan so that humans can be in his presence, so that humans can draw near to him. He rescues the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. He brings them to Mount Sinai. He gives them this tabernacle, or the tent of meeting. And the book of Exodus, the book right before this, ends on this big climax. God's glory fills that tabernacle, the tent of meeting. It's finally happened. God is there again, living in the midst of his people. But then we read a cliffhanger. It says, Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the glory of God filled the tabernacle. If this was a movie, and movie number one was Genesis and movie number two was Exodus, Exodus would be ending with a big to be continued. Because when God's there, it's happened. He's dwelling in the tent of meeting, but Moses can't go in? I mean, if Moses can't go in, the leader of God's people, how does anyone have a chance to meet with God? How are people going to draw near? That's what the book of Leviticus is all about. The answer is sacrifice. Sacrifice. To draw near to God, to be in a relationship with him, there needs to be a sacrifice. Look at verse 2. That's what God says. He says, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when anyone among you brings an offering or a sacrifice to the Lord, bring as your offering an animal from either the herd or the flock. In the Hebrew, when it says bringing an offering, it really is talking about drawing near. You want to draw near to God, you need a sacrifice. So let's look at the first sacrifice. You can see there in verse 3, it's called the burnt offering. You would bring an animal. In verse 3, it's introduced, you can bring in a cow or a bull from your herd. But here's what's really cool. If you jump down to verse 10, it says, if you don't have enough money to afford a cow or a herd, you can bring a sheep or a goat. And then if you jump down to verse 14, it says, well, if you don't have enough money for a sheep or a goat, that's all right too. You can bring a bird. Birds were apparently cheaper than sheep, and which are cheaper than cows back in the time. Same sacrifice, but for different wealth. See, God wants everyone to draw near to him. It doesn't matter whether you're rich, middle class, or poor. He wants you to come to be with him. So God says, bring the animal. Bring the animal and lay your hands on the animal. It's a symbol there. It's a symbol that this animal represents you. It's a symbol that this animal is your substitute. This animal is going to die in your place. And the animal did die. Pretty graphic, pretty bloody. But it's showing us visually that sin requires death. Sin is such a serious thing. The wages of sin is death, it says in the New Testament. And this animal dies in the place of the person making the sacrifice, so that they could be forgiven and they could draw near to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful tonight at 5:30, we don't have to get you all to line up and slaughter a bull or a bird here at the front of the stage. Can you imagine how bloody it would be? Messy, noisy, smelly. And that's because of this verse, Hebrews chapter 10. And by that will, we've been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Isn't that a great truth? You and I don't need to bring an animal because we've got a better sacrifice. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus who died in our place. His sacrifice once and for all. You didn't know the Israelites had to make those sacrifices day after day. Jesus has done it all. It is finished. He's paid the price for your sins. If you trust him, you have confidence. You're forgiven. He's paid it all. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you're exploring who Jesus is, you need to know the only way you can come to God is through a blood sacrifice. And not an animal, but Jesus, who died for you. That's the first point in these three chapters of Leviticus. Draw near to God with sacrifice. Let's look at the second one. Draw near to God with joyful surrender. Joyful surrender. Do you notice what it says about the animal you're to bring? It says in verse 3 that the animal is to be without defect. I wonder if you've ever been given a gift that you later found out was a re-gift. You ever got one of those before? You find out that, you know, someone's just passed on that gift to you. They got it from someone else. They didn't want it. And so they gave it to you. How do you feel? You don't feel loved, do you? Because you know the person who gave you the gift didn't spend any money, and it didn't matter to them. If it mattered, they would have kept it. Now, those Israelites back then, they could have woken up in the morning and gone, okay, it's sacrifice day. Got to make my burnt offering. Which cow am I going to pick this morning? Ah, that cow over there, he's only got a few months left to live. He's looking a bit sick. I've never really liked him anyway. He looks kind of strange. I'll sacrifice him. The priests won't know. God won't know. Sacrifice the dodgy cow. And God says, no, no, no. I want your best. I want your best. Bring me an animal without defect. Because God's worthy, isn't he? I love this. King David says this in 2 Samuel. He says, I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. That cost me nothing. God wants our best. These people in Leviticus, they are surrendering their best. They're laying it before God. And they're surrendering everything. The burnt offering, you know what happens to it? It's burnt. All of it. In verse 9, we read it's burnt so much that the smoke becomes like a pleasing aroma and it rises, symbolizing it going to God. God gets all of it, nothing's left. God is calling us to give him everything, surrendering everything. It's a heart totally consecrated to God. God, I want to give you my all. This burnt offering, it's the same offering that Abraham was told to give. You remember Abraham? He's told to sacrifice his son as a burnt offering. His precious one and only son. And he's willing to do it. That's how deep his faith is in God. He has surrendered. Before God said stop, he is willing to surrender even his son. I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all. God, I'm holding nothing back. What would it look like for you to surrender all? To say, God, I trust you. I don't know what you're doing, and life's hard right now, but I trust you. To say, God, I want to obey your word, and it's going to be hard, it's going to cost me, but I want to surrender my life to you. To surrender to God your time. Say, God, I'm busy with work, I'm busy with uni, my Sunday mornings are precious, my Friday nights, but I want to serve in kids ministry or youth or music because I want to give it all to you. Or your money. God, here's my money, and I sweated over this. It's my hard-earned money, but it belongs to you. Or your reputation. God, I want to share Jesus with my friends at work, and it might damage my reputation, but I'm giving that to you. I surrender all. Maybe it's your career. Maybe people have been tapping you on the shoulder saying, hey, maybe you should think about ministry, training for ministry, going to Bible college, being an intern, whatever. And you're going, well, I love my job. But God, I want to surrender even that to you. I don't know what it is for you that God is calling you to lay down. I love Romans 12. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. It doesn't say, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to earn God's mercy. Offer your lives as living sacrifice. Now, Jesus has done the perfect sacrifice. He's died for your sins. He's done it all. Now, it's in response to God's mercy. Because God loves you so much, because he saved you, lay down your life. Not an animal, your life, as a living sacrifice. That's worship. That's worship. Surrendering it all to Jesus. Let's look at together at the next two offerings. We're going to look at them really quickly. And what I hope you see is, in these other two offerings, the heart is still the same. It is still joyful surrender. Joyful surrender. And next week we're going to look at the last two offerings. There's five offerings in the first seven chapters of Leviticus. But let's look at the grain offering and the fellowship offering. The grain offering. There's no animals with this one. This is the offering for the vegetarians. For those of you, vegetarian offering. You bring your grains. You bring your grains to God, and this time only some of it was burnt. The rest goes to the priests, Aaron and his sons, the priests, and they eat it because pastors get hungry too. Now, back then, the priests, they didn't have any land. They weren't allotted any land, and so the only way they got food was eating some of these sacrifices. The sacrifice is described as a memorial portion. See there in verse 2, a memorial portion. It is remembering that God has given you everything. It's remembering that God owns everything. He's been faithful to you. He is good. And so this grain offering, it's sacrifice of thanksgiving. In fact, you'd often give this sacrifice after the burnt offering. So you'd come to the tent of meeting, you'd do the burnt offering, you'd remember that your sins are forgiven, you are atoned for, your sins atoned for you. And that word atone, by the way, at one with God. You've been made right with God through that sacrifice. And then you'd make the grain offering with thankfulness in your heart to God. Once again there, see it says bring your best. It says bring the finest flour, verse 1. Not Aldi flour, Coles flour. You're going to like some fancy markets and getting artisan flour. The very best. My mum used to have a cabinet Inside this glass cabinet was all these fancy plates and china. And I used to ask her, you know, when are we ever going to use that? It was never opened. I'm guessing she was saving it for if the queen came over for a meal. And she was thinking, if the queen comes over, I'm not going to serve her food on our second-rate plates. She needs the best. And God's saying here, give me the best flour, the best grain. Because he's worthy of it all. Is your heart filled with thankfulness like these Israelites? I don't know how often you wake up in the morning and you think about things to complain about, or be bitter about, or grumble about, or be jealous about, or worry about. How our days would change if we woke up with thankfulness and remembered all we have to be thankful to God for. That's what these Israelites were doing, remembering the goodness of God. Well, lastly, in chapter 3, we've got the fellowship offering. This meal, it's different again. It's shared. This is like going to McDonald's and getting a family meal deal. It's like going to the restaurant and ordering the big buffet that everyone eats together. That's what this sacrifice was like. Because here's what happened. You come to make your fellowship offering, and firstly, some of it, some of your big cow, would go to God. It says the fat parts would go to God, because I know we like fat-free food these days, but back then the fat was the best part. So God, you get the fatty part. That gets burnt up. That goes to God. Then the priests, pastors get hungry too, as I said before. They get a bunch of food too. They get the shoulder, they get the right thigh. But the rest, you got to take it away. And you got to eat it with your mates, with your friends, with your family. It's not really there in chapter 3, but it's expanded on in chapter 7. It talks more about the fellowship offering. This is a communal meal. It's a picture of community, of fellowship. The word for fellowship here is shalom, peace. You are celebrating that all is well between you and God, and that all is well between you and God's family. Together, you would feast, celebrate God's goodness and his forgiveness. I think one day when we're in heaven and we have that heavenly banquet, we're with Jesus face to face, it would be like this. Celebrating with our brothers and sisters for all eternity the goodness of God. Do you see the heart of Leviticus 1 to 3? The sacrifice of the animal points to that perfect sacrifice of Jesus. That has changed. We no longer need to sacrifice animals. We have the perfect sacrifice of Christ on the cross. But the heart of the worshippers is the same. Joyful surrender. Drawing near to God with thanksgiving, with awe, and laying down our all. I think the closest thing that we have to the fellowship offering today is the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. I'm going to invite the band up now, because in a moment we're actually going to take part in the Lord's Supper together, and I do think it is the closest thing we have today to this fellowship offering. Not exactly the same, but when we gather together and take the Lord's Supper together, it's a family meal. It's a community meal. We together are celebrating Jesus. We're remembering his perfect sacrifice on the cross, that he has done it all to pay for our sins. And we are celebrating together his goodness and that we're part of his family. On the night before Jesus died, he took bread, and having given thanks, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup and he said, This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this and be thankful." That's what we're going to do in a moment. Remember his perfect sacrifice and celebrate together that we have peace with God and that we're part of God's family. This is a meal for anyone who's a Christian. If for whatever reason you don't feel comfortable taking part in this meal tonight, just let it pass you by. That is totally fine. But in a moment, some bread is going to come round, some juice. Please hold on to it, and we'll take part in this celebration, this meal, together after this song. Let's stand and sing.